All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? The sun is shining. People have stepped off the ledge. Now, what a difference a game makes. People are thinking that the Rockets might have the upper hand in the series. Well, your Rockets got to win. Your Astros got to win. All is right in the world. And we're all back in studio today. Nick, Barry, Joel, Usual Suspects. We got you till 4. Blitz has you till 7. Appreciate you doing what you do and tuning in and being suspects of the show.
I thought you appreciated me doing what I do, which is amazing.
No.
Heavy as the head that wears the crown, Joel.
However heavy your head is on you. Appreciate you listening. And fellas, what's going on? Nick, you
took it all in? Passed by me and went right to you. What's up with that?
I don't know.
It's easy.
You just, I thought we shared something special on the remote yesterday.
No.
No? Okay. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
What would we have shared?
I don't know.
A crappy segment one?
Well, it did suck. Let's be real.
Yeah, we both admitted it. Yeah.
It's not our best. We were Rockets game one in that segment.
What were you guys distracted?
It was not our best effort.
We were just trying to get set up. There was a bunch of stuff going on. But
inside
no
jokes on the radio.
It was the food, wasn't it?
Food was good.
No, the food was really good. Yeah. I was not expecting the food to be that good at Carbach.
The brewing company, right?
The brewing company.
It's really nice there,
it was
too.
Legit.
Yeah, the whole setup is cool.
Yeah, I've been there quite a few times. Believe it or not, I even went for bingo.
You drink? I didn't know you...
Never.
You partake?
Never, ever drink.
That's a shocker.
Now, I'll tell you what's a shame is that list of cities that you were talking about.
Oh, my God.
And how Texas... There was no Texas city in the top 10 in terms of drinking.
But as I told these guys, and Patrick Creighton said it to me, and I'm like, bro, you don't realize. When I tell you that when winter hits, you are like... It's almost like being in prison, only you can get out if you want, but you really don't want to because it's that bad.
So it's just stocked.
So if you were
beer
to
everywhere in the house.
If you were to take a guess as to like because no Texas, and if you guys didn't listen yesterday for whatever reason, Joel had this thing where it was the top 10 drunkest cities
by adults
in America, and like not a lie, 7 or 8 of them were in Wisconsin.
Yep.
And so, like, 3 in the bottom half of the top 10 and then 3 or 4 in the top half. If you were to make if you were to rank the big 4 in Texas, who would you think, what would be your order of drunkest cities from 1 to 4 or 4 to 1, whichever?
All cities, not just the big ones?
I mean, I would go big 4 because that's kind of how Texas works. We lump in, like, if you say Houston, to me, I'm lumping it all the way to Beaumont. And Sealy and all that. It's all... Really? I'm lumping that in. Yeah,
but like San Antonio, Lukenbach, Austin, Texas.
No, but there's nobody in Lukenbach, Texas.
Right. Well, like, those literally that are just, drink.
Just to, no, there's a there's no population in Lukenbach.
Okay. I mean, the easier thing to do would be the 4. Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, Houston. That'd be the easiest
thing. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Rate those 4.
I would have to put Dallas or Austin at number 1. I just don't know which.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Austin, because it's a college town.
Yeah.
Would be up there more.
Austin is a college town. Okay, so Dallas, you guys are going, is a Cowboys fan base.
Okay, so you guys are going Austin 1, Dallas 2.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Who's 3?
I would say Houston. Well, no, that's
I'm
going to
switch that up. I would go, I would put Austin and then Houston.
So you got Austin, Houston, you got Austin, Dallas, and then what you got? What was your last 2?
I would say Dallas, Houston, and then Dallas. That would be my last 2.
So, well, no, you had Dallas at 2. How can you change it?
Yeah, Austin, I got number Austin, 1, Houston, Dallas, 2, San Antonio.
Houston at 3, and San Antonio at 4.
So you have San Antonio last. And you?
I've got Austin, Houston, Dallas, for sheer size over San Antonio, and then the Riverwalk.
I think you guys are missing the boat here. I'm going San Antonio 1.
Really?
Austin 2. You think about how many tourists in San Antonio partying, drinking, they're off, they're on vacation. I would bet the number of drunks in San Antonio outweighs any of the other cities. on a nightly per capita basis.
I wouldn't be surprised if any of us are on, because that's just so hard to tell.
Yeah.
There's a lot of alcoholics in those four cities.
I would probably go those two and then Houston and then Dallas. Dallas is so snobby.
I agree with that.
That they probably drink like martinis, but they don't drink a lot of them.
But I just thought for like, sheer size, Dallas as they probably a city do a lot of blow consume more than San Antonio.
I'm sure they probably do like a lot of blow and all that, like Molly. But
like my
here,
wife.
I mean, we're the city known for lean. Of course we're going to be.
But my wife watches most, all the right? Real Housewives. And the Real Housewives of Dallas, you'd have thought that they were in Beverly Hills. They all act like they have all that money. And it's like, come down off your high horse, sweetie. You ain't all that.
Dallas thinks they're the fancy part of
they
Texas.
Do. Yes, they absolutely do. Yeah. Which is ridiculous. But
it's
very
so weird because every time I've gone there, I've always ended up in some weird part of
really?
Dallas. Yeah. But I don't go to Dallas that much because I hate driving there. My threshold for driving to any city is about 5 to 6 hours. Four and a half is right up there with the five.
Your threshold is 5 to 6?
At that point, I want to fly. If it's more than 6 really? Hours,
well,
I want to fly.
Never,
totally
never
with you, and
comment.
You're going way over my threshold. Because I've said this before on the show, but in college, you know, I was three and a half hours from home. And I had no less than 11 times where I had a car break down to and from. So I just got really tired of the driving thing because it was the whole paranoia of I'm just going to get in the middle of nowhere. And this was before cell phones and all that. And I was like, I just ain't doing that.
Yeah.
Somebody said El Paso. They wanted to put them in there. Followed by wherever the highest Mexican population is, Mexicans love drinking.
The Valley?
Well, that's very racist.
It was very racist, but I thought that's where you were going to go with why San Antonio.
Yeah. Yes. Honestly, yes, I thought absolutely. That's why I held from it. I was going
you
to.
You guys yep. are so racist.
No, we actually think
are you
that
saying
way of
that
you.
Black people don't drink?
No.
Are you saying that white people don't drink?
We're
half
saying
of my
that
family,
we thought you were putting San Antonio at one for that reason.
Half of my family are alcoholics, and we're all white. So I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I'm on my half, not her
don't
half.
We,
also,
don't
a lot of alcoholics on her half, and they're all Mexican. So maybe there's a point to be made. I don't know.
Don't you want
to
pick on an intern today?
Yeah, we do need to talk to intern Andrew. So if you guys don't know, Stephen A. Smith is in the building. He's here for games 1 and 2. I'm guessing he leaves tomorrow or today, maybe. I don't know. But he's here today doing his show down the hall. And I walked into the bullpen. All the interns are in there, and it stunk. I was like, God, what does this smell? Somebody's food. So I'm kind of looking around, just messing with everybody. And intern Andrew and his beautiful face are sitting there. I was like, bro, is that you? You smell like ass. And he goes, yeah, it might be. He goes, I'll tell you who it's not. It's not Stephen A. Smith. And I was like, what? Why do you say that? Are you like infatuated with Stephen A. Smith? He goes, yeah. Like he just walked by and he smells amazing. And I was like, really? And about this time, that I say, really, the door opens.
The back door?
The back behind Andrew. Yeah, yeah. And in comes walking Stephen A. Smith. But Andrew doesn't see him because he's behind him. So after he says, yeah, he smelled amazing, he was like, I love you, Stephen A. Smith. You smell so wonderful. And Stephen A. walks by and goes, my man. And Andrew turned as red as a Rockets t-shirt. He's wearing a Rockets t-shirt. Looked like he took his shirt off. He was so red. He was like, you got me. I was like, I didn't even mean to do that, but that was amazing. You are so busted. And now Stephen A. Smith is going to file a restraining order against you.
We're definitely bringing him in.
We need to talk to him about that.
It's the weirdest thing, though. So Trey is infatuated with Andrew.
Yes.
Raheel, to some degree, is infatuated with Andrew.
Is he really?
Andrew is infatuated with Stephen A. Smith.
So if it's 6 degrees of separation.
It's weird.
Ergo. Somebody said, what about College Station? Well, we were just doing major towns.
Yeah. Although I'd say College Station's probably a big drinking town.
Yeah, but I'd make the case for Conroe. And
that's what I'm saying. There's some plenty of these other smaller towns.
But we just need to keep it to the big four.
Okay.
That was my game anyways. I don't want to start getting into all these shiny.
Way back Wednesday's our game, too, when everybody plays that. They all chime in with their playlist.
Probably just population if we're keeping it to the big four.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I was saying Dallas supersedes San Antonio on pure numbers.
Now, if you wanted to separate Dallas and Fort Worth, I would listen to that argument. Outside of that, no. You get the Metroplex.
Dallas is just such a clean city, though. So.
It is super clean.
I just You're just going to start that?
I know.
Yeah, I just knew.
I know.
Yeah. All right, we're just getting started. Give us a call. Join us, won't you? 713-780-3776. HRP listener line. You know how we do it. You can call. You can text. You can also hit us up on Twitter, where it's at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. USA Mike, we already see you loading up, ready to go, because we're not on a remote and you're not sitting in front of us. Word. So you might as well be a part of the show. If anybody wants to be like USA Mike, line up, get in. We'll get you on. Just getting it going. Stay right where you are. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Sick and tired of the Photoshop. Show me something natural
like Afro-Vol with your pride. Now hear this. You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hello, here we go. Second segment of the show. It is The Usual Suspects. You heard the man. Hour number one, Barry, Nick, Joel, all in studio. Kevin, Mike, we see you. Hang on. So we were telling this story before the break.
Mm-hmm. It was a story of love, a story of infatuation.
There's a lot of infatuation.
I'm worried Stephen A. Smith, if he has a rabbit, is going to get home. It's going to be boiling in a pot. You don't even understand that reference, do you, young man?
No.
What's the name of that movie that it's from?
With Glenn Close and Michael Douglas.
Yes. What the hell is the name of that movie?
I could picture it, too.
Yeah, I know. Damn it. It's the one where she spreads her legs and it's just
Sharon
like...
Sharon Stone, too. Yeah.
I can't think of the damn name. Well, anyways.
Yeah.
So we were telling the story, Andrew, who's joined us now on the show, intern Andrew, about you professing your love for Stephen A. Smith when he walked by and you didn't notice. Now, you said off air that you were joking, but your eyes told a different story.
Oh.
It's hard to admit some of these things, you know, Barry. it's difficult.
Is it coming to grips with your inner truth?
You know, sometimes there's one person on the outside and another person on the inside.
I get you. And that's good to know.
Wow.
Now, did you immediately regret professing your love when he walked by? Because he gave you the, my man, and just kept walking. That had to have felt good that he acknowledged you.
Oh, I mean, there's nothing more you can ask for.
That was the goal?
That was the goal, you know?
I did notice when I asked him, I was like, because Joel, during the break, said, well, what, was he all dressed up for his radio show? And intern Andrew immediately goes, yeah, he had on a suit, tie, wingtips. He had on a gold watch. It was gold. Well,
he's
the band,
a boxer guy.
The band was gold
guy.
And silver. The wingtips, they were newly polished, it looked like. He had on a tie. His tie pin, I believe, read God Bless America. I was like, bro, you really checked him out, huh? Like, he knew everything. Everything. It's creepy.
He walks in with a certain presence, a certain swagger. You can't help but take notice.
That is true.
That's
does
just
look
the volume
smooth.
Of his voice.
He does dress up for radio.
It's true. You're laughing off the microphone, but you know I'm right. You're being seen by everybody.
Yeah.
So,
you're not wrong, Joel.
Millions and That's millions right. of people are watching you right now.
We thought Patrick Creighton was loud, and then Stephen A. came in and realized we're going to have some people come in and construct the walls again.
How come we haven't asked him to do our show? He's here?
Because he'll give the wrong...
I don't know.
He'll give the wrong frequency again.
I mean, you could do that for us, right? I mean, you've written him several letters.
You guys just chat a lot, right?
You're president of the fan club, right?
Essentially, yeah.
Did he try and hook you up with Rockets tickets last night?
That was not me, unfortunately. That was some. You guys heard that story, right?
Yeah. No, I did not.
Where he asked if you guys had credentials and...
No, so some of the interns were like standing outside the door yesterday. And Jong had to send out an email about this because they asked Stephen A. for Rockets tickets.
Oh.
They were like, hey, Stephen A., big fan, can we get some tickets?
What? They're taking it
That's
to that
new to
level.
Me. I didn't hear it. I didn't hear that.
Now, I heard a different story. I heard that Stephen A. was like, hey, are y'all not going to the game? And That's everybody was like, no.
But he may be talking about different interns because it might have happened more
so
than
we
once.
Have interns
you know
over
who
here.
Did it?
I will not
call
name
him
names.
Out. No, I'm, you're going to call him out.
But you know who did it.
I want names.
I would call
right
him out, but
now,
I don't even
Andrew,
know their. I don't even names. Know what their. I don't know what their names are. I would say
Is it,
I
was it the new one? Was it what's the new guy's name that I'm always giving a hard time to?
No, it was not Connor.
Connor, damn it. I swear to you.
Okay,
don't
here,
you let me down, young man.
I got your cough button down. Who was it?
Eject. Really? You're not going to throw him under the bus?
No.
Male or female?
Well, I mean, both there's males. Only like, what, one female intern here?
Exactly.
So
okay.
It was all males over there.
You're a liar. Look at you.
All interns are producers. Because I could see some of our producers doing this, not named Nick, Tyler, or Dell.
Why won't you name names? I mean.
Barry's the name guy.
You're not a snitch guy? You don't want to snitch?
Never snitch.
Okay. Good for you. I'm proud of you for not snitching. That's good. So we've got you here. You want to talk a little Rockets?
Oh, I would love to talk some
Rockets. What was your assessment of games one and two?
Game one, effort wasn't there. Effort just wasn't at the proper level for them to win. Game two, you can just see it in their defensive rotations and everything they did. I mean, I was there last night, and the intensity level, way, way higher.
Now, how did
Stephen
you get
A.
there?
Hooked you up last
yeah,
night?
I was going to say, did you...
How'd you get to the game?
Me and my dad drove over there. And
your dad had tickets?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Now, you mean your real dad. You're not just saying Stephen A. is your dad. You mean your real dad.
I'm going to leave that one up to you guys.
Okay. And the listeners.
I'm just checking. Now, are you of the mindset that this is a new series now because of game two?
I am. I mean, I don't think there's anyone who wasn't worried after game one in the city of Houston.
Right.
Well, that's obvious.
But the way they played in game two, everyone, you know, they're saying it's not sustainable the way that Curry and Thompson shot in game two. But the way that Thompson was defended, if you stop that entry pass into Klay Thompson, he's not going to create offense for himself. You can shut that off. Pretty, I'm not going to say easily, but you can shut it off somewhat if you stop that entry pass into him.
I like it. What's your Twitter handle so people can follow you?
At Hyped Up Andrew.
Don't you have a podcast now?
Yes, we do. Me and my buddy John, who's sitting in the producer.
That guy. Who's over there. I do not like that guy.
John is a media whore.
No, that guy, don't get to the microphone. You're not going to talk. This is not your time. Nope, you're not defending yourself. You're not talking. I won't allow it. That guy is the one that, what did he call me? Little buddy one day? It was very disrespectful.
Little boo-boo?
No, he didn't call me boo-boo. He called me little buddy. Didn't he call you little buddy as well, Nick?
He called me little boo-boo. That's what I was bothered by.
That's what it was. I knew little boo-boo right now, was in the mix somewhere.
It pissed you off, didn't it?
I don't even know where to start.
Tell the truth. It pissed you off, didn't it?
I did.
That's very disrespectful. Your elders, you know, calling us little buddy and little boo-boo.
Little boo-boo, yeah.
Man, you know who would never do that? Intern Andrew.
How uncomfortable are you since Stephen A. got to field one side of it? How uncomfortable are you that it seems like not only Trey, but also Raheel has a little bit of an obsession with you and your looks?
See, the Trey one verges on creepy a little bit of the time.
He goes over the top.
Trey being creepy? What?
Impossible to fathom, but yes.
The Raheel, it's more humorous more than anything else, I think. But
that's what he wants you to believe.
The Trey one, man, that's something else.
As an intern here, when you come in, what's your first impressions of Trey? And then as you get to know him, does it change?
Yeah, so my first impression when I walked through, John gave me the tour after I interviewed here. And he was like, man, I don't know if I'm in the right place. I saw Trey and he was talking to everybody. And once you get to know him, it's a little bit different. But that first impression is like, yeah. I don't know if I'm in the right spot.
Then you're a very smart and even-keeled thinking young man.
Yeah, for sure. By the way, Fatal Attraction was the movie.
Yes. Thank you, Robert.
Yeah, several people that texted and tweeted. We also got Basic Instinct. That was Sharon Stone.
That's right.
Glenn Close. And what's her name? We're Fatal Attraction, which is the one where they... she boiled the bunny, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fatal Attraction is, yeah.
Yes, correct. All right.
Yeah, so we mixed them up. But that, you know, that's why you guys are always there to correct us.
That's right, because we're old and we mix up our movies and our metaphors.
Yeah, that's right. So how was the crowd last night? Were you early arriving?
I got there about an hour before tip-off.
Okay.
Are you and your family rich? Is that why you got to go?
Pretty much.
We're decently well off.
I hate you. But, get him off. Get the guy on here that called me little boo-boo. At least he's not rich. Is he rich? Are you rich, John?
Was the crowd okay?
Are you poor?
Yeah, it got there.
Put the poor guy on.
It got there.
It got there. It was better. I was at game five for the Utah series.
Yeah.
It was significantly better than that at tip-off.
Yeah.
But it still wasn't. To me, I think from what I saw on TV, game one was better than game two was.
So we were worried about that. Nick, because you said there was a drop-off in game two. So, right?
I felt like in attendance there was a little bit of a drop-off for sure.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, cool. Well, we appreciate you spending some time with us, brother.
Always love him, I guess.
Andrew, the intern, follow him. What was
the Twitter again?
At Hyped Up Andrew.
What's the podcast name?
Breaking Into the Business. Me and my boy Johnny Boudreaux in the booth over there. You can follow him at Johnny Toblerone.
Nope, you're never coming on the show again now.
You just blew it. The man does nope. podcast. I know you. I with a hospital mascot.
I appreciate two things about you, Andrew. Down for your homies, and you don't snitch. But you just blew it. You're never coming back on the show again. You're done in this market.
Yeah, he does podcast with you with a hospital mask on. I thought he was going to perform surgery on you during the show, and I didn't know where. You can't laugh off mic. You can laugh. Yeah,
you gotta laugh into the mic.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to explain why you said that though, because no one knows.
They take pictures when they do podcasts, Dad.
Well, and, I'm just saying, everybody's going, what the hell is he talking about?
I said he does a podcast mask. With a surgical mask on.
Yeah, but to explain why, because he was sick. He did it one time.
I didn't know that.
Because he was deathly ill.
Oh, now your guy is back. You guys are buddies after all.
No, I'm just trying to help the peeps that are listening going, what the hell is he talking about?
Screw the peeps. Let's go.
Screw the peeps.
All right, half hour
That's our
in.
Show motto.
Big show. Don't go anywhere. Much more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects, second half hour of the show. It's JB along with Little Boo Boo. And
Little Boo, no, don't. I'll do that to him.
And
I'm a little buddy.
And little buddy?
Little buddy.
Little you're, buddy, little boo-boo and me.
And little boo-boo.
That's not nice.
What's the drop?
Big J, little
something
boo-boo,
in pee.
And little buddy.
I feel like if I say it out of context, it doesn't count.
Yeah, I got to find
it. It doesn't that's not, count.
No, you don't have to do it. You got a lot to do today, Nick. just stop that.
You don't have to say it. Hey, real quick, shout out to everybody on the live stream. You can go to livestream.com/GalMedia or ESPN975.com. And it's on the front. Shout out to Steve-O. He's always on there. He said, finally, the real show starts now. But then he's like, what? There's no interacting going on here? Bro, I said like two or three messages on there. Steve-O, we see you. I'm texting. You're not texting back. Hit me up, man.
Come on the stream?
Yeah. My stream is weak, apparently.
I thought you were working on that.
I'm trying.
Those big nuts get in the way.
That is true.
Did you see the, by the way, USA Mike, hold on one second, but did you see the promos coming out for the Uncle Drew movie?
Yes. I meant to ask you guys about that.
I did chuckle out loud.
Let's take this call. Let's take USA Mike's call, and then we'll talk to Uncle Drew. He's been holding a while.
So we're not Raheel. We got things to do. We got a full show.
That's
my
dude.
All the time in the world. He's a funny guy, though. He definitely has a second career if he wants it. USA Mike, what's up?
What's up, Joe? Pass the ball, Kobe. So, hey, y'all, I just wanted to, I got two questions for you. Number one, Barry, what is more likely, you wearing Stephen A. Smith's outfit today or P.J. Tucker's last night?
Ooh. That's a hell of a pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go Stephen A. today. Damn that.
All right, well, my second question is, I know y'all are going to break it down. But I got into an argument with a coworker today, and I told him that, you know, every playoff game is important, but I felt like game three is a must-win for Golden State, given the narrative nationally, especially getting at the, you know, if they got beat at the Big O. I know that the Rockets definitely need to split that in Oracle, but I said that if they come back, especially if they lose by 10 points or more, the series could be over with the confidence that the Rockets would have winning in Oracle. I just wanted to see what you guys thought.
Okay. Appreciate it, Mike. Good
yeah,
call.
Appreciate the call. So he's asking, do we think game three is a must win?
For Golden State.
For Golden State.
I do not.
Okay.
I do not. I do think Steve Kerr there's a lot of merit to what Steve Kerr said last night, which is when we are pushed, when we feel like we are in a volatile situation. We come out ready to play. And then once we get through that situation, we relax. He felt like they relaxed last night. He felt like, as we were talking about, one of the keys was, you know, the energy level. The Rockets had very low energy in the first game, but they came out like a, you know, a cornered rabid dog, and they came out fighting from the get-go, whereas it looked like the Warriors were kind of like, meh. You know, and the Warriors settled for a lot of rushed three-pointers on the break, kind of like the Rockets did in game one. I feel like, I think it's unfair, too, because I think a lot of the national beat, I saw Michael Wilbon last night who said, I mean, let's be honest, the Rockets are coming back to Houston down 3-1. I wouldn't go that far, but I will say it's a different environment there, but I feel like now you're back to even ground again, and the Warriors don't want to give up what they got by splitting here, by getting home court. So I think that I don't think it's a must win, but I think it's a hyper important game for the series, no doubt.
So you kind of, I feel like your narrative has changed a little bit, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing or knocking you, but going into yesterday's game, we were both like,
yeah,
it wouldn't surprise us if this was a sweep.
Yep.
So now after yesterday's game, that narrative for you has changed again.
Yeah, it did. It definitely, I started to sway because of the fact that I saw something that I didn't think I'd see in the Rockets. I saw not only that fight and that hunger, but I saw, regardless of what Mike D'Antoni said, I saw them willing to adjust to get back to where they were in February.
Okay.
Adjust to playing faster, getting other people involved, getting out on the break more. And that is encouraging. Plus, on the flip side of it, I saw a Golden State team that didn't play near the defense they played in game one.
I will say I do think this is a must-win game for Golden State because I think that, I mean, my prediction was Golden State in six, and I think if they're going to win in six, they're going to have to go home and take care of business. They've got the one on the road that they needed, right? So I think that, yeah, it is pivot. Both of these games are must-wins for them because here's the one thing you don't want to do. You don't want to go to game seven on the road.
That's right.
And I get it. I get how dominant Golden State is, and I get that. But you saw last night that when the Rockets make up their mind that they can beat this team, when they decide and make up their mind they can beat this team, now, you know, who's going to show up in game seven? You can talk about Harden, you can talk about Paul and all that stuff, but Golden State has to look at that and say, we don't want to take our chances with that. So, yes, I think absolutely they've got to take care of business at home. That would make both of them a must-win, in my opinion.
I don't think it has to be a must-win, but I do think it's going to raise some serious concerns. So I'm kind of with Joel on this one, in that it's going to raise some serious concern for the Golden State Warriors in the event that they lose their first game in the series at home.
And two in a row.
Yeah.
It would be two in a row.
It'd be a big, big deal. But I think that the question is, the big question after game two is, we know that the Rockets are capable. Are they consistently capable?
Bingo. I was just going there.
Is Ariza going to be able to have the legs under him and still perform like the way he did?
PJ going to knock those shots down in a hostile environment.
Absolutely. And PJ Tucker said after the game, I don't even focus on my offense. I don't. He is a guy that totally lets the offense come to him. So you can't necessarily believe 110% that PJ Tucker is going to have another game like that. But if they are going to win this series, they're going to need Tucker, Ariza, Gordon, which I've said all along, they have to perform well. Harden and Paul will have their impact eventually. Even if it's a quiet 17, 18, 19, 20 points by Chris Paul, he's going to have his impact on the game. Ariza, Gordon, and Tucker have to play like that pretty much every game in the series for them to win.
To me, Mba Mute is now a moot point. I just think
he's scared.
He's come out and made excuses for himself about his shoulder and not wanting to dunk, and that bothers me.
How about the fact 3 minutes in, 0-for-3, blew two layups, and immediately got pulled and never saw the court again until garbage time?
Yep.
I think that said a lot about Mike D'Antoni. Mike D'Antoni's not going to give you any leeway. There's no room for that now. Everyone has to execute and play their part. And it says something when you see a guy like Gerald Green getting more minutes than Luke Mba Mute.
There's just no room
for error.
To what you guys were saying, too. But here's my thing. This is it's like a mini series. It's like a drama on TV when you're watching. How many people are ready to jump off a ledge and say the Rockets season was over after game one? Now, in just one more game, now is Steph Curry done? You know, are the Warriors really struggling with what the Rockets can do offensively? There was a lot of narratives. Steph Curry was on the hot seat last night, and you know it in the post-game press conference, because now it's like all of this is on him. Like, what's wrong with you? I mean, have you lost it? I mean,
It was a defense, man. They did a real good job of getting him to force three-pointers. And a lot of times, that won't work on Curry. You can force him to have all these weird three-pointers, and he'll still make them. But I think they did a really good job on Curry. I think they did a really good job on Thompson. Again, are they consistently able to show this type of defense throughout the whole series?
Don't think, though, that him having to play defense on every possession and knowing that they are gunning for him, they want that switch so that he can be exposed. And the fact that mentally, as much as he can say he's offensively, he's mentally tough. It's taxing on him physically playing both ends. It's also taxing him on him mentally that he knows for all the accolades, the superstardom, all the things he's gotten, he's being exposed right now as a bad defender, and that is bugging the hell out of him. A
couple things for me. The difference between the two nights and going into the series, going into game one, my big thing was, and I repeated it several times, the Rockets have to play perfect. If they're going to beat Golden State, they did not play perfect in game one. And part of that perfection that I talked about was this bench. The role players in the bench have to play their part. Eric Gordon has to make his shots. Luke Mbamute has to play defense. Him and P.J. Tucker have to play defense and knock down the threes when they're giving them wide open. Because we saw it in the Jazz series. The Jazz were content to sit back and let P.J. Tucker beat them. In that game, he did not, and the Rockets lost. So they have to make their shots. Everybody has to play their role and play it well in order to beat this team. Didn't happen in game one. That's exactly what happened in game two. When you look at opportunities, the number of shots that the Rockets and the Warriors got in this game versus game one, there was the difference of like three shots between the two teams. In game one, the Rockets got like 85 shots. They got 88 in this game. But you look at the difference in scoring, and it's because the role players made their shots when they needed to, specifically
and they were
Eric Gordon.
Shots too.
Yeah. But so it wasn't like the offense was magically changed where it created more scoring opportunities. They took advantage of the opportunities when they got them.
Well, and the big thing was, no matter what D'Antoni said, the big thing is what I was stressing all day yesterday was you got to play faster. You got to get shots, whether it's 7 seconds or less or not. You got to get quicker shots, and you got to get out in transition, because that's when those role players get those easy baskets, get those opportunities you're talking about, good shots around the rim. And then, like we said all along, Eric Gordon, sometimes guys need to get a rhythm, but they need to feel confident. Get a layup, get a couple free throws, get a couple easy jumpers, and all of a sudden you're like, it's my night, it's rolling, I'm good. And then the shots come falling, and his 40-footers are falling instead of going dead off right. So they did everything that they were supposed to. Everybody watching this from a national perspective, didn't watch this team all year, said, well, that's why they kept saying, you got to change everything you do. You don't have to change it. You just have to get back to doing what you do, which was run the same system, but play quicker, faster, earlier shots.
Last night, Trevor Ariza, P.J. Tucker, and Eric Gordon scored 68 points between the three of them. They had a combined 24 in game one. That's the difference. I mean, that is you can say whatever you want about Harden and Paul and their numbers and whether you know, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson didn't score. The difference is because you can't you can play defense and those guys aren't always going to miss those shots. But even if you add their, this is a 22 point win.
Yeah,
that's the difference, is those guys making their shots.
I remember
when they
tweeting
had
it out. It was like I combined those three players and it was like 30 at the time. I think it was either at halftime or at the start of the third. And they had 34 points between the three of them. And then Harden, Paul, and Capella had like 17 or 18. It was or 20.
Flipped, right?
It was like, just a big difference. So
I want to talk about it on the other side, but I'm tired of the narrative that the Golden State Warriors are an elite defensive team. We have to stop saying that.
I'm not going to stop saying
that. Yeah, we have to stop saying that.
All right.
Okay.
Here's the thing that I don't don't understand. Why isn't anybody talking about what could be a huge story here, too? Chris Paul, that's not just a little injury. You're hoping that just was a little bit of a muscle tweak. But when they bring out the equipment that they were bringing out, and that guy had like one of those that Raheel talks about, that kind of drill thing to really try and free up and loosen up whatever they were working on. And then when he got back on the floor, he was limping again. That would really suck if something like that got in the way of this Rockets team giving the Warriors a hell of a series. So that's something I think more people should be talking about. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We're Rockets heavy in the early hours. Taylor, we see you. We'll get to you next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, first hour of the show. Appreciate you joining us. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5. It's Nick. It's Barry. It's Joel. We're kicking around little rockets, having a little fun with the interns. So you were talking about, where you want to go, Warriors defense?
Yeah, I mean, the narrative, I've heard several different people saying on different mediums how, well, you've got, and I know it was on TV where I heard it for sure. I don't remember which person said it, but you hear it a lot about how basically the Golden State Warriors are an elite defense. That's just not the case. I mean, the numbers don't prove that to be true. I think what happens is people seem to think that because they win so many games and score so many points and they outscore their opponents by so much that they play great defense. But they've given up 56 and 64 in the first half of the first two games to the Rockets. They gave up 127 last night. You're talking about a team that finished, I believe, 16th in points allowed in the NBA. 16th or 18th in points allowed in the NBA. That is not elite level defense. San Antonio and Utah right now are the elite level defenses in the NBA. Golden State allowed 107.5 points a game. That puts them up there with Milwaukee and Minnesota and behind teams like Houston and Portland and these other cities. That's not elite level. You can't give up 107 a game and call yourself elite when there's two teams that aren't even giving up 100. So I think we have to stop with that narrative. You can score on them.
I mean, here's what I'll say, and not to pick apart your argument.
Please do.
The 107 point part, teams are going to put 100 points on you even when they're absolutely terrible. Like, we've talked about that before, but I will say this. I do agree with you in that they're not an elite defense. I think they're an above average defense, and I think the other problem is there's not many teams that have shooters like the Golden State Warriors. So when they're not making shots, they're going to get a little bit more credit for their defensive play than perhaps they deserve. But yeah, I consider them an above average defense. I don't consider them an elite defense, and I agree with you.
Yeah,
but the 100 point part, I just, sorry ass teams put 100, 105 points on you in any given night. It happens all the time. Like, bad teams.
See, I think there's a lot of things. You can look at just purely the numbers and realize that there's a lot of lineups and defensive units that he's not going to put out there, that he may put out there from time to time in the playoffs. He only uses certain defenses when Steve Kerr is who I'm referring to, when they get into crunch time or they need stops. And forget the Hampton 5 lineup, but they have a lot of versatility in their defense. And I think it's only based on when they need it. And the other thing is whether it's right or not or fair or not, when you get a team that's had the success that they've had, they get complacent. And I think that during the regular season and otherwise, they have a tendency to relax a lot. That's why teams like Brooklyn and other teams can score a lot of points on you, because they're like, it's a regular season, it's January, and we're in Brooklyn. Who cares? But I think that they have the capabilities to be an elite defense when they need to be. They've proven that over time. They've proven that in the finals. They've proven that a lot over the history of this franchise. Now, have they proven it so far in this series? No, I don't think so. But I also realize that, kind of to your point, Nick, but you know, it was a low-scoring first quarter, but both teams were shooting the ball, but Rockets shooting it better than Golden State, but Golden State was atrocious shooting the ball. But I look at it and I say, look, depending on who's out there, and they're not using Looney or JaVale McGee like they did during the regular season either, and that may be good, may be bad, but I think that they're a lot more capable defensively with a big in the middle, at least one that's athletic and versatile. And for all that they think that they're getting offensively that can paralyze the team with the way that they play the Hampton Five, I think defensively, not having at least one big in the game when the Rockets have Capella in, that can kill them, or at least hurt them. It can wound them. Let's put it that way.
Okay. I mean, I just wanted to make the point. I kept hearing it, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm not seeing it, but
I think the people in Houston get frustrated because of the fact that they're constantly focused now on the national narrative, because teams that haven't people that haven't watched this team play game in, game out all year long are now the considered experts. We don't have local TV anymore. So you're constantly being focused on people that are being paid to cover this series, but haven't watched this team consistently enough to really have the kind of fair judgment that they need to.
I mean, to me, like, you know, you guys were talking about statistics don't matter, but
I mean, they don't matter.
When you look at defensive rating, just as a team, a defensive rating. And if you look at regular season, Boston, believe it or not, was number one, had the best defensive rating. Utah, number two. Philly, number three. San Antonio, number four. And I think you wouldn't argue with the fact that those are all pretty good defensive teams as well. If you keep going, Toronto 5, Houston 6, Miami 7, Portland 8. The top 8, Golden State's not listed in that. They are 9th in defensive rating. That, to me, and I'm not saying they're not a good defensive team, because obviously they can defend with Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and Durant plays decent defense, but they're not elite. We have to stop with that narrative. They're a good defensive team. But this whole,
like I said, I agree with you. I didn't disagree with you in that regard.
No. I'm just kind of reiterating my point about it's a national narrative to you, like you were saying, where it's different because I think people get lazy. They don't want to look at what's going on now. Just like it's easy to say the Rockets aren't a good defensive team. That's lazy. If you look at it, the Rockets are actually a really good defensive team. But people just, they haven't been in the past, so we'll roll with that.
Yeah, and like I said, that national narrative, it's unfortunate, but I think that too many people buy into it's the gospel because the national people are saying it. They haven't watched the Rockets enough or the Warriors.
That's a good point.
Taylor wants to get in here. Taylor, what's up?
Hey, what's cracking, guys?
What's up, man?
Y'all made a great point on the role players and the bench players. If we got really bad play from them, game one, got blown out. They played excellent game two. We blew the Warriors out. If we can get good play, I think every single game will be competitive and close. So there's that. And then defensively for the Warriors, I think that their elite defense, like the narrative comes from them playing good offense and forcing teams to do like uncomfortable things that they don't like to do to get back in games. And that just plays into them looking good on defense. And I think the Rockets exposed the defense and Rockets did what they wanted to do, and of course that's how it went in game two.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's a good point, Taylor. He's got a valid point there, mm-hmm. where if you're trying to play catch-up with the Warriors, obviously you're going to start shooting a lot of threes, and if you're not a team that's built for that, if you're the Spurs and you're trying to play catch-up, you start chunking up a lot of threes. That's not your game. The Rockets can do that and fade that. They so it's not really that they're playing out of character. But, yeah, that's a valid point, too, Taylor.
I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, but I did notice that it was getting to Curry. And that between and also Thompson and the fact that he wasn't having the kind of game he had in game one. Yeah. And a lot of times when we talk about the Warriors, kind of like we talk about the Rockets, these are the only two teams that can really do it. They can shoot their way back in.
Yep.
But when you watch what they were doing last night, they had so many opportunities where they could have gotten a layup, could have attacked the basket, and those two guys were so frustrated with the fact they were forcing that transition three with guys on them, and it just did the Rockets a favor.
And the other thing that I noticed, the final note that I made about the game last night, to me, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, or maybe you just didn't notice it, I really felt like Trevor Ariza and Eric Gordon wanted the ball. And I think that's the first time I've seen that from both of them in a while, where, I mean, they literally looked like they were looking for the ball. Ariza was looking for a shot, or he was looking to drive and dish, but it looked like they were determined to be a part of that offense last night, and I think that made a huge difference.
And I think what happens is when Ariza scores 8 points in the first and Gordon scores 9 points in the first, that may be a reason why they want the ball and want to be a big part of the offense. But I will agree with you in terms of Ariza. Gordon wants the ball a lot.
Yeah.
But Gordon, you could tell, was kind of going back to his comments between games one and two. That you could see his body language in game one was, I'm frustrated, I'm ticked off because these two guys are doing, they're not even passing it. But from Ariza's perspective, don't think that John back and forth with KD didn't feed into exactly what you're saying. Like, I'm not Kevin Durant, but if you want to talk crap with me and go back and forth, I'm going to score some on you too. So I think you're right. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Hour number one's in the books. Two more to go, the big show. So don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.